DTMF Radio, Episode 6, with me, Crash Test,
and 813 Error.
Today we're going to be covering a lot of topics on Linux and
Windows, and hardware,
and crap,
and payphones.
Alright, so you start off, 813.
By the way, I don't know what the intro music is. I haven't picked it out yet. So, it was a surprise to me and everyone else. Alright, I was going to be talking about, I guess, payphones first, since while on vacation, I had a lot of bad experiences with payphones. As the site frequenters have noticed, while on vacation, I was going to be leaving messages on a K7 box, just random stuff, but since they weren't posted, everyone was probably wondering, well, what happened? Well, payphones happened, and they never worked. See, I left one message in the McDonald's in Florida, and every other payphone I used after that, it would give me an error message and then a busy when I called back. It would say the 1-900 number I was calling is unavailable from this line, and then I'd hang up, and I'd like, huh, what's that about? And I'd call back, and it would just give me a busy. So that's why that didn't happen. I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Phone hog.
What was the error message it gave you?
It was something along the lines of the 1-900 number you were calling, 1-900-4, and then at that time I would hang up because that's definitely not the number I called. So, I don't know what that is. And by the way, I was calling Phone Hog's number. It's 1-800-382-9980 for everyone who doesn't know or something. So, I do have pictures of payphones. All the payphones that I actually stopped and bothered with, I took a picture of them, even if I just called an ANAC, because I couldn't read the number on it. And I did get a lot of numbers. I've got a couple, well, just two in Florida, and then a bunch in Georgia, and I think one in Tennessee. Yeah, two in Tennessee, I guess. I also have a picture of a suggestion that I put in a rest stop in Georgia. That'll be up on the site.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's going to be like suggestion.jpg or something like that. I guess that's all I have about the payphones, if you want to get started on Linux, or do you want me to do hardware?
You did get a lot of stuff, though.
Yep, the hardware that I got. I got two new computers and a whole lot of stuff. Now, by new, I mean new to me. They are old, and they are used. And for the two computers, I only paid for one of them. The other one was 99 cents. I got this Epson box running DOS 5. I don't know much else about it because I haven't played with it except to turn it on and see what it was running. And I got a Tandy for 99 cents. Also, I don't know if it works. I tried plugging it in, and it only has TV out. So when I plug it in, I don't know if the cord or the TV or VCR or something was messed up because it wasn't working. I'll mess with that later when I actually have time.
On the Tandy, there is websites like Computer Museum websites. I don't know the address on top of my head, but they go over like all the different versions of Tandys and they collect them and stuff. But I'm sure you can find sites on like repairing it.
Yeah, I haven't got to that yet. I want to get it working. It'd be fun to play with instead of just sitting collecting dust and taking up space, which I am quickly running out of. If anyone wants to see everything I got, you can check out, it's in the images directory, it's hardware.jpg.
I think there's a link to it right on the
front
page.
Yeah, it should be on the front page. The rest of the stuff I got a keyboard for $1. It was from Salvation Army. My grandma told me that they usually have computer stuff, that's where I got the Tandy, and I got a keyboard. I also got a power cord and about 25 feet of phone line for $1. The other stuff I got was from Big Lots. I didn't expect to see anything in there, but we walked in the store just killing time, and they had this big, like, aisle full of HP stuff, like an OEM aisle, you could call it. They had all kinds of keyboards, well, not keyboards, mice and cables and CDRs and cases and all this good stuff. They had a mouse. Now, the mouse I got is special. The rest of them are just generic mice around the same price. This one was $6, and it's the HP Force Feedback Web Mouse. I got it in hopes of it working with Unreal Tournament 2004, and at the time I didn't know that Unreal already had support for it, but whenever I plugged it in and turned on Unreal, it had support already, so there's
what,
no...
What was the name of the mouse?
HP Force Feedback Web Mouse. I can try and find a product number or something. You might be able to get it from H7011. Oh, that's on the box a couple times. That might be, like, product number.
Right.
If not, if anyone wants any info about it, I can tell you. I can, like, look it up or something. What else is I going to talk about?
Oh, I thought you were going to go into how the thing vibrates like crazy.
Oh, yeah, that. So, whenever you install the drivers, it installs this thing called Immersion Desktop. Now, it vibrates when it goes over top of any icon, and by any, I mean icons, start buttons, clock, everything. Any kind of button, it will vibrate. Not just a little bit by default, it's a lot. It will, you'll know. It's not like it's something you barely feel. Now, I was going to do a little demonstration, but I don't have the drivers installed at the moment, so I can't let you hear it, but it just sounds like a loud static noise anyway. But when you use it in Unreal, I don't know what happens, but it gets a lot stronger. I stood in front of a friendly tank, and it won't kill me because friendly fire is off. So it just, like, pushes me. And as it pushes me, it's hitting me but not hurting me, if that makes any sense. So the mouse is vibrating, and vibrating a lot. It was shaking and making me turn.
How much would it, like, move you across the screen?
I got in a turret on Onslaught. And I just sat in the turret and put my finger on the button to fire, and that was the only thing touching the mouse was that finger. And it was turning. I just started shooting, like, in circles. So it moves pretty good. And I like it. It adds a whole new depth to the game for
$6.
It's
not a ball or optical.
It's sadly a ball mouse, but it's not too bad. I've only had a couple problems with it skipping. Only in-game. Other than that, it's pretty good. I'd rather have an optical version, but hey, take what you can get. I got a whole bunch of network cable. It was like $4 for 15 feet. Got a power supply for like $5 and a CD case. And some speakers for like $5. It's just 2-channel with a little subwoofer in it, like standard computer speakers. That's all the hardware, I think, that I got while I was up there. I'm looking around. I don't see anything else that I got, so I'm guessing that's it. Again, you can check hardware.jpg for a whole big picture. So, you want to get into your whole XP crashing, Linux MP3 support issues?
All right. Well, over the past week, I had a big Windows crash, and I don't want to go into it. Basically, I was fucked, and I had to format. I wanted to make the switch to Linux, so I really didn't care if I lose my data. I mean, I can download it again. Thanks, Worlds. I tried a lot of distros, and the first one I tried was Slackware 9.1. Easy install, but I had some trouble with the bootloader, and I don't know. I just wanted to try a whole bunch of them anyway, so I just moved on to the next one.
By the way, before you move off of the topic of Slackware, I was also having the same problem you were, which was when you install the bootloader on the
hard drive,
it doesn't work. And
right.
it never worked for me, but every time I installed it on floppy, it worked just fine, so.
But I got it to work on a floppy, too. But then after I did it with the floppy, I had trouble with the X386. And
I don't know what to tell you about that, except that maybe you're typing something wrong, but I'm sure you know your system, so.
I wasn't typing it.
I don't know. So, Slackware didn't work for you. What'd you try next?
I liked it. And then I tried College Linux, which is based off Slackware. It is Slackware, just less packages. It's only one CD. that I had trouble with the installer after purchasing my hard drive. It sometimes would hang after detecting my USB port.
Yeah.
And I had that problem with other distros also. I'll get into that later. But with College Linux, after I did install, I had the same problem with the bootloader. And then I was kind of like this, so I didn't really care anymore. But each in between all these distros, I'm using a DBAN, Derek's Bootnuke. I love this utility. It's a dban.sourceforge.net. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's basically a very minimalistic Linux kernel, an image, and it boots off a floppy, and it does different hard drive deletion techniques. It does the Department of Defense qualified magnetic destroying of data or whatever, and I liked it a lot. You can also do just a quick swipe, which took me like 45 minutes, and I liked it. That was like the only thing I could actually rely on in my installation. And then I tried Red Hat 7.3. I just had it laying around when I bought it like a long ass time ago. I installed that. Installed perfectly. But then after I got into the GNOME and all that, it's just old, man. 7.3, I just didn't like it at all. It's just old. So, format that. Then I tried Red Hat 9. Again, I had trouble with the detection of my USB devices. I don't know why. If anyone else has that trouble, I just want to know.
I was having somewhat of a problem whenever I was using Nopix, and I had my digital camera's USB cradle / hub. Every time it would find it, because I never got the bright idea to unplug it, it would hang for like a minute trying to find the drivers or whatever.
Well, this one hangs for like forever. I mean, it says detected two USB ports, and then it just like hangs.
Are they USB ports you could take out, or are they on the motherboard?
They're on the motherboard.
Oh, so.
So like, I'd like go out to dinner and come back just to see if it, like, you know, wants to take its time. It still be there. So that was with Red Hat 9, and I'm like, whatever. So then I tried Mandrake 10 official, and I downloaded the ISOs, and I did the MD5 checksums on all of these, and they all check out. But I think the CD burner I was using was writing some minimal media errors, because when installing, it had tiny package errors and so on. And so the installs were not that successful.
What speed did you burn it at?
Like 24.
You might want to try 4 or 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I was doing like auto speed, like maximum speed detection.
Yeah.
And like it just sees how fast you can write it, and then it writes it. I was using Nero. But then I tried. Well, then I just booted in Nopix and like played with that around for a day, because I had to get on the internet. This is like over a 4-day period. And then I tried Fedora Core 2. This is the one that I downloaded myself. And I never passed the media check. With Fedora Core 2, they want you to do a little media check of the CDs in the beginning to make sure that your media is not corrupt and that you'll have a successful install. So before it installs anything, it makes sure that nothing is corrupt. I like that. But this kind of takes long, it's tedious, and it's pain in the ass. But none of my CDs passed. And I said, fuck it, I'll install anyway. So then I install, and then I run into package, these are corrupt, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shit. So I had student denominator. And then I talked to one of my friends, and he has the Fedora Core 2 CDs that worked for him, so I tried them. They worked for me. And so the next day, I have Fedora Core 2 installed. A lot of you may hate Fedora Core 2 because it's not a quote-unquote real distro. It's real enough for me. It works. It doesn't have MP3 support, which is a royal pain in the ass.
Yeah, how many days were you messing with that?
MP3, 2 days.
Okay.
It's maybe 3. It's definitely a pain, but you can get it. What I did to fix it is I downloaded the Xine or X-I-N-E packages, the library packages, and I compiled my own. And then installed Caffeine as a front end for KDE. It's a media player. And then I also installed Zine UI. It's like a DVD player. But with that, I got MP3 support and everything, and it all works.
So,
and with Fedora, that's about all that's not included. There's a little bit of different stuff that you have to do and tweak, but so far I've gotten all my useful tools running and working. I've got DC++, Amule, AzureS, which is a BitTorrent client, a very nice one. I like it. It's easy. It's not that easy, but...
Well, almost no Linux will be perfectly easy.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about some Windows Linux thing.
Crap.
Yeah, which then it's not really worth it.
Yeah, but... whatever. It works, and I needed an operating system. So, that was that. Recently, though... I wanted to secure my desktop. I looked for free antivirus for Linux. There's not very many viruses, but hey, I wanted the protection anyway. So I chose Bitdefender Console, BDC, from the command line, but free updates, and it works, and it's nice, and it's good, it's free. So yeah, it's open. It's not open, I don't know. It's freeware, that's all I know. So I don't think it's a GPL.
Mm.
So I don't believe it's open source. It might be, I'm not sure. But it is freeware.
Now, the reason why you did this is because of the problems I was having, right?
Right.
So I guess I could do a little impromptu thing about what was happening to me and my Windows worm problems. I was downloading a piece of software that I would not like to name, and I had a problem with it. Apparently, somehow I got a Trojan downloaded. Now, I don't know how it got in, but AVG found it, and I couldn't get rid of it for some reason. It just kept showing up in different places, so I said, you know what, screw this. I have stuff thrown around in all kinds of random places anyway. Might as well just format and clean it all up while I'm at it. So I decided to stick with XP only and not my other operating system. So after I spend all night setting up the partitions, backing up data, installing Windows, moving data back to where it should be, getting Windows to work the way it doesn't annoy me, where I can live with it, and just generally having things right, I get online, and within 5 minutes, I have 2 worms and a virus. Now, I was getting online to do the Windows update, but I got on IRC and Trillion real quick just to hang out for a minute before I started. So then all of a sudden it says, you have 60 seconds to reboot, and I think to myself, it's only been like 5 minutes, what the heck's going on? Well, anyway, I had to reboot, and this happened a couple times before I finally decided, well, I do have the Windows Update CD from February, maybe that'll fix it. So I install Service Pack 1 and all the other updates that are on it, and apparently it fixed it. So I got rid of the worm, or that particular worm, and I updated Windows to pretty much all the updates. I left a couple out that were big or retarded, like I don't need to update the shopping stuff or Outlook or anything like that. I don't use Outlook. So I don't remember what happened, but then I got AdAware set up, and then I went on to my virus scanner. Now, I should have probably set this up first thing before even updating Windows, because I was having virus problems, but I decided to do it now. So after a little while trying to get that thing working again, because something was going wrong, I got it working, and I scanned, and I found a Trojan, a worm, and a virus. So I don't remember what they were. I could open it real quick and find out, but I got rid of those, and I was like, this is getting ridiculous. Why do I keep getting all these? I'm not going to any, like, crazy sites that are, like, full of, like, any kind of cracker sites or anything like that. I'm just, like, Trillion and stuff. So, I get back out that Windows update CD, and they have a virus and firewall apps in there. I don't know which virus scanner it is that they bought, but the firewall looks exactly like Zone Alarm. It's just under a different name. It's called eTrust. It's Easy Firewall or something like that. And I left it running for a while, and I thought I had it set up, but then I got another Trojan somehow, so I just set all the settings to high. And while I was at it, I turned on the Windows firewall. So I figured this has got to be pretty secure. I mean, I don't know what's still getting in, so I told my good friend Crackdust over here to take a shot. I let him do whatever he wanted, minus any viri or anything like that, to try and get in or see what he could find. And why don't you just go ahead and tell him what you did find.
All right. Well, first, an nmap scan. I did find port 79 open, but I cannot find that port again. Obviously, you increased your firewall.
Yeah. I did turn it up from medium to high whenever you did the second nmap, so maybe that did something, or maybe I closed something somewhere and it shut.
But I did do a Nessus scan.
Well, you did half of it.
I thought I would find something. I'm going to redo it. I mean, it might have not been good.
So you did the Nessus scan and
it
didn't find
anything.
Which is...
And I also did a Nessus scan on a server that I know to have stuff wrong with it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it didn't find anything either.
So maybe you didn't put in something. You didn't do it right. Maybe.
Maybe. I'm going to redo it anyway with different options and do what I find.
Alright. All these apps that we're talking about will be up in the show notes if they are... free.
Nessus is free.
I'm sure this firewall and virus scanner stuff I was talking about.
Well, yeah,
Windows
your virus scanner.
Yeah, the AVG is free, and that might already be up in the show notes.
I'm not sure, but AVG kicks ass with these Windows. It's a very nice free virus scanner.
Yep. Yeah. Updates every day. Good stuff. I think that's it. I was having problems with viruses. I'd also like to give a shout out to an app real quick. I don't remember what it's called as I'm saying this, trying to find it. Kizzle told me about it, and I didn't really know what it was, but he said, you should check this out. I might do a show on it, and I was like, nah, I'll check it out. It might be cool. It's an app sort of like TeamSpeak. I can't use TeamSpeak. It's never worked for me, but this, it's called Ventrilo, V-E-N-T-R-I-L-O. They only have a Windows version out right now, but the Linux and BSD versions are in development, so Kizzle and Twirls and I were messing with it, and after messing with the setup and getting all that working, we were playing with it, and we found out that it's very packet size dependent. Like, I'm on dial-up, and I can use it just fine as long as you put a little bit more pause in between what you're saying, and it seems that if you talk really loud, packets get huge, and then it just lags. It doesn't, like, cut out words. It just pauses for a second and gets the buffer filled back up so it can go again. And I got it working just fine. He got it working, and Twirls, he was having mic problems, but I like it. It's sort of like a CB radio type effect where there's a bit of pause, not like this, where if I say something, you hear me and can respond right then. He was also having problems with trying to make it so that, because you had to press like a hotkey, like let's say alternate or something, or control or A or something like that to get it to your mic to turn on. And I had a PlayStation 2 to USB adapter that apparently when I installed XP was found and the driver was installed because it worked right then before installing the drivers. So I turned the hotkey to X on the PlayStation 2 controller, and then I could turn on my mic from anywhere. I didn't have to be at that window. So then it was fine for me, but they didn't have that, so they still had to look at that window every time. So that's that app. And I think that's all I have for this show. I don't know anything else I was supposed to go over.
All right.
Well, since I guess this is the end of the episode, do you have any shout-outs or anything?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to shout out Kizzle.
Yeah, always. Shouts to Kizzle.
Shouts to Twirls for letting me leech like hell.
Yeah, Twirl's cool guy. Also shouts to this firewall. Shouts to the creators of that worm for making my life terrible for a couple days. Shouts to Modem. You know what I'm talking about. Shouts to everybody. How about that? You can always send us an email. Do you have the address for that offhand?
Yeah, it's dtmf@hackermedia.net.
All right. You could also leave us a voicemail at 206-312-8697.
You better check that.
Yeah, we pretty much never check that because we never get any messages, so somebody give us a message.
If you want to contact any of us individually, it's under the contact information at dtmfradio.tk.
Yep, I'm pretty sure they know about that. Also, the Tampa 2600 site, fl2600.com/Tampa. Also, the IRC channel, irc.2600.net. #Tampa2600. Shouts to ZeroDB. That guy has some crazy stuff going on. Plan 9. I really like that. I guess that's it.
Alright.
You got anything else?
Nope.
Alright, later.
Later.